We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It feels like Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Miami Heat Podcast. I'm Carlo Navas, and with me today, as most times, is my producer and co-founder, Brian Goins, here on the left of the screen if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube.
What's up, guys? And shout out to Twisted Tapioca if you're in the chat today.
Shout out to Tapioca's our MVP of Heat Beat. More than anyone here, it's Twisted Tapioca on the bottom of the screen.
Directly. Miami Heat Beat super fan at this point.
Miami Heat Beat, listen, it's nice to have one. It's nice to have people that like us. You know, it goes a long way. You guys don't understand. It's lonely out here. On the bottom of the screen, we have the great Siobhan.
What's up? Hey, G. Hey, guys. Yeah, shout out to Twisted also. Keep up the work. We appreciate it.
And on the bottom left, you will know him as our statistician and pun master, host of the Dunker Spot podcast and featured writer on Basketball News, Nikias Duncan.
Hello, hello, and rest in peace, Sakis.
Yeah, I wanted to start with that. You know, I didn't know him as a writer first. I knew him as an NBA TV personality, and he was the kind of the social media guy. And like, honestly, he was also like an inspiration for me for my weight loss because on television, seeing him every day, like that was something that you saw his journey with his body. And honestly, like for me, more than the basketball stuff, because, we only had a couple interactions on Twitter. You guys are going to come on podcast one day. But like for me, like that dude was such an inspiration to me personally in terms of like his weight loss, because that's a visible guy. And, looked great. Right. Like the guy's like handsome dude, really slimmed out, looked amazing. I love Sekou. I think we all do.
And it just goes to show lose. No matter how healthy you look or how healthy you are, like just. COVID sucks. It really does. And that's why you gotta wear your mask, even though, things haven't gotten better in the last year.
The light at the end of the tunnel is hopefully here. And we know there's no reason to lose any more loved ones. So rest in peace to the great Sekou Smith. We loved you. We love you. And, we hope to honor your wonderful basketball writing legacy and coverage of the league today, talking hoops with two of my favorite people and Brian. So I kind of want to start with the little mini series that they played with the Brooklyn Nets. So, Nikias, we talked a little bit about this on their pregame show when I hastily asked you to come on. It's really promising to see how effective they are at attacking drop, because Milwaukee still does that. And when teams play a really kind of aggressive drop defense, I think that Miami has a lot of tools to exploit that. And if you look to the kind of couple games prior to that against the Raptors were switching a lot of things. And I think that the switching really makes Miami's offense hard, because suddenly those handoff plays that they like so much, you have a lot less space. You know, the gap closes a lot quicker. Bam is not someone to really punish a small, even Jeff Green. You know, he wasn't kind of backing him in. It was more face-up jumper finesse stuff. So switching is definitely kind of the Heat's kryptonite in a way, but it was kind of good, Nikias, to see an elite team in the East that still uses drop, and the fact that they still got it.
Yeah, I think that was definitely a positive. That starts with Bam, who forced just about anyone that was thrown on him during that little two-game series. But he's taken the mid-range jumper. He's taking it more consistently. He's taking it in rhythm. I think that's huge for the drop, because you can't play off of him. He's knocked it down at a 50% clip. And if they do continue to guard him that way, he has a way to score now, in addition to what he already does. That's a dribble handoff by him and Duncan Robinson. Still have tremendous chemistry there. So it is encouraging that they can beat that. I do think, to your point about the switching, they really lack some juice downhill. And I think that's really where they miss Jimmy the most, because he's the guy that can mismatch Hunt in that way and get downhill and get to the free throw line and kind of force rotations there. I do agree with you, Bam still has a ways to go as far as attacking smaller players. Though there were some nice flashes. He forced a lot of double teams against Brooklyn, which I think is huge. The fact that they were treating him as a threat that way, he was able to showcase the passing there and open those looks for others. But they definitely need Jimmy Butler back, which is a dull thing. But in terms of attacking that switching style, they need someone that can get downhill and really force pressure at the rim.
Yeah, there's some news about like Jimmy's availability. Apparently, according to according to the team, and then according to Ethan, Jimmy's not going to be playing tomorrow, but he's on track to probably make his return sometime this week. Apparently, he's taking tomorrow off for conditioning purposes. And then Avery Bradley and Tyler Herro are questionable for tomorrow to make the return.
Siobhan, we've kind of talked a lot about what Nikias is saying about kind of like their north-south kind of juice or like kind of versatility in their shot diet. You know, I tweeted the stat earlier today, which I think is super indicative of kind of everything that's going on with their high pick and roll game. So they're getting absolutely trounced when Bam and Goran are off the court. So they're minus 14 net rating when they both sit. And when they both play together, they're at a plus 3, which is pretty encouraging that even without Jimmy and these guys, that they're still playing winning basketball when they play together, which is really, you know, Goran is right now their only north-south threat. So I know that we've talked a lot about this, but like, do you, Siobhan, think that this is a big concern, or do you just think like Jimmy's going to come in and he's really going to fix this?
So Jimmy comes in and he fixes it, or maybe he doesn't fix it. He addresses it, right? Because again, we're still not relatively early, but are still kind of relatively early in the season, and, you know, still rest. We still don't know his physiological effects with COVID. So I think, you know, when he comes back, he does address it, but I don't know that he fixes it, because like you said, like you just illustrated, especially with Tyler out, right? Your next closest approximation to someone that can give you, as Nikias said, some juice going north and south is Goran, who is also a guy that we shouldn't at this stage of the season be relying on so heavily to do what we are doing. You see a struggle, like you said, it's a visible struggle when the two of them aren't on the floor. And so the improvement in Bam's jump shot is incredibly encouraging, because it means we have, you know, another weapon in the arsenal to be able to address multiple styles of coverage. But, you know, who is showing their full hand, you know, at this point in the season? Like, you got to hope to God that we aren't also. So You know, and not at all to say that BAM's success is some fool's gold, but how much better our offense looks because of it, because we may not continue to see this type of coverage. Maybe it's yet to be seen.
So I kind of tend to agree with you. Like, Eric likes to really put a lot of stuff in his back pocket, and then in the playoffs, he really unveils it. Like, I think we've right. seen a lot of, especially on the defensive end.
Right.
You know, they kind of showed a little bit of the switching, but like now, like, they're in their whole back defensively, like trying to win games. But it's kind of hard when, you know, Nikas, I think you made the joke that there's like a little too much Gabe Vincent going on right now.
Yeah, like, a lot of Gabe Vincent.
It's tough to win, you know, to push, and it's not a dig at Gabe or anything. Like, he's just not a guy that's like ready to play high leverage minutes against James Harden. Like, that's not a knock on these guys,
yeah.
But you know, this season has kind of thrusted a bunch of people out of position and out of kind of their comfort level to a point. It's like, you know, all of a sudden you look around and you're isolated at the top of the key against James Harden. And it's like, you know, the Siobhan, you know, the D-Wade nightmare commercial where he wake up from the nightmare, like in a sweat. Like, yeah. That's kind of like Gabe. Like, you wake up from a nightmare, like, how did we get here? Why is Gabe on James Harden at the top of the key with the leverage situations? Like, this.
We wake up in the nightmare, and then Gabe is the deer in the headlights, you know, kind of when it happens. But to his credit, though, like, he does offer you the most kind of girthy resistance at our spots to him at the moment, again, with Jimmy out. So, but yeah, like that, if that's the go-to, you know, if that's our first option, we are still in a little bit of trouble.
Like, when I want to go back to this stat, because I really think it's indicative of something. Like, things kind of trending up, Nikias. They're winning the Goran Bam minutes. Shout out to Curtis's Hero for the gifted sub, and shout out to Vane Hype. I know he gifted Nikias a sub earlier. Y'all are great. Appreciate that support. So, you know, they're winning those Goran Bam minutes, and they're losing the minutes without them. And I think, Nikias, when Jimmy comes back in, not only do you bolster, because I mean, Goran Bam and Jimmy are going to play a lot of minutes together. Mm-hmm. So that plus three could get to plus five, plus seven. You know, if you hope, like, if all things go right or whatever, plus five, if it doesn't really go as well as you hope. And that minus 14, when they both sit, you kind of hope that Jimmy plus shooters at least gets you to an even net rating. You know what I mean? Even if it's like a lot of Kendrick Nunn getting blasted, you know, on defense, like, I kind of think that, like, this looks, you know, when they're playing their good players, they're winning.
Yeah, to that effect, I'm kind of surprised that Bo has paired those two together the way that he has. Like, what really bothered me during last night's game were these stretches to where you have Bam and Goran off the floor, and Duncan Robinson's kind of your hub. You kind of hope that he can bend the defense with the way he moves off ball, but Brooklyn's just switching everything because nobody else can get to the paint. I mean, nobody else forces attention. So it's just a lot of side-to-side passing, and then it's a late clock look, and there's Gabe Vincent again taking a shot. So it's been weird seeing him. It was kind of surprising that he started Goran to begin with.
Yes.
I figured that he would just keep that rotation. I mean, you just kind of keep that part of the rotation intact, since the guys that are left are all point. I mean, like, it's Gabe Vincent, it's Kendrick Nunn, like, they're all point guards. So you would think you would just kind of slot one of those guys in for Tyler, and you have Goran to kind of right the ship, and then you kind of close games with him. But starting him is one thing, and then taking him and Bam off the floor at the same time just means your offense really has no shot against a team that likes to switch. So Jimmy's going to be huge for that. I think that's going to be the biggest part of the net rating thing. Honestly, there are going to be more weapons offensively. Jimmy's going to be able to force pressure. And those staggers make a lot more sense when you have one guy off the floor consistently that can put pressure on the rim.
It felt like college offense. Like, with those minus Bam and Gore, like it's a lot of side to side passing, a lot of guys like taking one dribble and then like, never mind, we're gonna work these angles, couple little cuts, nothing real comes of it. It's frustrating, and they don't have enough. And like, I felt kind of bad for Olynyk, because I think that he theoretically, at least with him and Duncan, they can run some of that stuff, especially, you know, you have him off or whatever, you screen for pressures or whatever. They can do a lot of like 4-5 stuff. He can, you know, trigger their handoff or whatever. And he's just been abysmal shooting the ball. Abysmal. What'd you say to guys?
I just chipped in with bad.
And I'm a, like, Siobhan, I don't know. Like, I'm a KO guy, right? Like, I'm here defending my man Olynyk all the time because I like what he offers. I think his finishing is good. I think he's a really smart offensive player. I think that I like that he's a good shooter, and he's like missing everything. I think Marco in chat said a couple of days ago, he's with Five Reasons, tweeted that, you know, Kelly's shooting like 17% on open jump shots. That's what we were making fun of Mo Harkless for.
Yeah. I'm a KO guy too, but I think, again, like, it can't be underscored. And I think the fact that it can't be underscored, like, further highlights kind of the issue of, you know, what we are left to rely on without, you know, Goran, Jimmy, a Tyler. Nikias was talking about how there's no one else to take an attention off of a Duncan, right? So there's even, you know, less attention or what have you, you know, given to a KO. And so, I don't know. I'm a KO guy too. I think I like what he gives us, in the size and in the pick and pop. Maybe I wish he was a bit more mobile, but
don't we all,
you know, that's not his fault. He's like that awkward athletic type. Like, Klay Thompson is really awkward athletic. But
is he?
I think Klay is like awkwardly athletic. I know he's athletic, but it used to look kind of
shots
awkward.
At Klay.
Not at all. I love Klay. Stop. There's nothing wrong being awkward. it's effective. But no, I like KO too. So, you know, I hope he can get it back. We'll see.
Like, if he can give them shooting at least at a league average clip,
yeah,
like, that's gonna help.
Yeah, 17% is rough.
It's rough on open. Like, that's those are the open.
Yeah, they're
ones.
Not. Yeah.
Like, if he can get going, that's going to help them a lot. I mean, they, you know, the people that are shooting their volume 3-point shots have been bad, right? Like, not except for Duncan, right? Because Tyler takes a lot and Tyler's not hitting them. And Kelly takes a lot and Kelly's not hitting them. You know, yeah. Goran and Duncan have kind of really held up the team percentage, but they're, you know, Goran's an on ball guy a lot of the time. And Duncan is a guy that defenses are really focused on. They'll switch those handoffs. They're really focused on how do we limit Duncan Robinson, right? That's a lot of game plans start with that.
Yeah.
And then they kind of work around. Because I think, you know, and by the way, I mean, I know that Bam went off against the Nets, but I mean, late in games, those shots he was hitting, they were tough shots.
They were
Jeff
tough
Green
shots.
Forced. You know what I mean? And you know, I kind of want to get into this a little bit because I feel like this might be a little taboo right now. I have a bit of an issue with Bam and the jumper. And I think that he's falling a little too in love with it. Now, I like it. And I think, Siobhan, as you said, it's in the arsenal. Like, he has that in his bag.
Yeah.
And they can depend on that when they can't get a better shot.
Right.
But the stuff where he's posting up, then takes one dribble out, and he ends up at the free throw line when you start at the low block. Like, you're stronger than these guys. What are you doing?
So he's stronger than some of these guys, right? But is he, you know, they have DJ, and maybe I can't think of any other of their big presences other than
they
DJ.
They use Joe Harris a lot on him.
But now, like, see, stuff
like that.
Yeah, stuff like that, you know, then it's almost beginning to get a little bit inexcusable. And like you said, maybe this is the time to work on the things. As I said earlier, you know, maybe you don't show your whole hand this early in the season, and so maybe Bam has this like phenomenal post-up game that we just haven't seen yet, but I don't doubt that, you know, he has elements to it, but I don't think, you know, those of us, because I agree with you, I don't think those of us that maybe want to see a little more head to the basket, nose to the rim, you know, driving, face up, if you're not stronger than these guys, you're quicker than them, you're more athletic, you're more springy. So, you know, take that, you know, I don't know, maybe he's getting bumped a lot. These guys, these bigs aren't having to rotate and contest and be, you know, out of defensive position as we have. So, you know, I'm trying to take all of that into consideration. And even with that being said, I would like to see Bam attack a bit more.
Didn't he work out with Chris Bosh over the summer or a couple off seasons ago?
Oh, God, Chris Bosh came.
Because it seems like that's exactly the style of play he's going for right now. That face up. Kind of taking those mid-range jumpers and then like I don't think Bosch really had much of a post game, but he did have a good face.
Yes, he did.
He had a great.
He had a good face of game, and Bosch he had a 3-point game. Now, does Bam have that yet? That's the mid and with that three is.
Oh, I think Bam could shoot threes. He's just not going.
He just isn't.
Right. Nikias, I feel like CB had a quicker first step, and I think that changes a lot. Also, in that conversation.
True.
CB's first step was crazy, dude.
He did have to go first. I'm trying to think if it was better than Bam's.
It was more animated.
The way Bam had that first step on Daniel Theis a couple times at game six.
That matchup was a wash, Brian. Remember.
Oh, yeah.
I love Dave.
But to your point about Bam falling in love with the jumper, I feel we've had this conversation before, and my early thought was I'm glad that he's willing to take it. And I think getting him to the point of being aggressive is step one and priority one. But I think it's important to frame his jumper as a counter more so than a go-to. Like, his jumper is the counter to the drop right now. Yeah. And it's great that he's hitting it at a high clip, and it's great that he can go to it in a myriad of ways. Like, it's the regular face-up. He does have the pull-ups. He has the side steps. He has the step backs. So it's great that he can kind of operate in the mid-range area. But the dirty secret is that Bam still struggles with size a little bit. He does struggle with true fives that have these massive wingspans. That's why you see some of the awkward room attempts in the half court with him. Into where he'll try to go into a guy's chest. He's kind of fading away and he's flipping it over his head. And he has this quick second jump, so he's able to knock it down and put it back. But that initial attempt is because he can't finish over the top of a guy like him. Not because he isn't better, because he is, but it's just the size difference. You have to remember, Bam has, he's 6'9 with a 7-foot wing.
I don't know. We saw him bully Giannis in the paint a couple of times.
A couple of times, but more times out of those couple, Giannis's size is going to make up for Bam maybe able to get what may have been, probably should have been called a charge, maybe not those specific times, but he does kind of get away with the little shoulder some.
It's like we see it sometimes, and then we see him revert back to some of his older tendencies.
I'm glad you brought up Giannis. So Bam's best play over Giannis was this season. It was the face up, the jab.
Yeah.
That drive. How did Bam finish that play?
Put back.
It was an inside hand layup off the wrong foot on the opposite side of the backboard. He didn't go over the top of Giannis. Mm-hmm. So, he's still more finesse than power in that.
Yes.
He still has to figure out how he's going to win overside. That's also why when he faces up and actually attacks the basket, he's pump faking 95% of the time because he's trying to draw a foul.
God, that drives me fucking crazy. It
drives me nuts.
It's the Joel Embiid.
That's for old dudes. That's for old dudes. Our pump fake. Charles Barkley once said, he's like, I once pump fake when there was no one around me, and that's when I knew it was time to retire. Come on, Bam.
But seriously, when Bam's flowing to that jumper, it's more fluid. When he's actually going north, south, or trying to get to the basket, just watch how often he pump fakes versus how often he goes straight up into a guy in the paint. Like, he's trying to get guys off balance in that way.
Oh, my.
I know that they're really trying to put him in that mid post area. I kind of like him more at the elbow if he's going to face up there, because I think he has a little more room to go with his right hand, because they were putting him on the left side of the court, right? So they run that little screen in the middle and they kind of get him from right to left, and then they get him on that mid/low block, and then they let him work.
Yeah.
I kind of rather see him run elbow stuff, not really to run shooters off of him, because if they're going to commit with him to score, but just to give him those angles, I would like to see that a little more.
He doesn't drive baseline much. Now I'm thinking about it.
Chat's saying it. Marco says that Bam tries that Bosch sideline drive so much, but Bosch always had a counter.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, Bam, that was one of the things that I talked about during last year's postseason, how heavy the tendency was for him to drive baseline. And I was kind of worried about teams starting to sit on it. That's what made him going into those step backs on the baseline so impressive to me earlier this season. Because it seems like he's found a little counter to that. But that
I would like to know if Goran taught, if that came from Goran, because Goran is good at that. And I would really like to know if that's something that he saw Goran be really good at. I was like, oh, I could do that.
I think I like what you said about him being, you know, in the free throw line area a bit more, especially when we're not running the handoff stuff, right? Because we don't have dynamic enough, you know, north south enough guards right now. The attention again is either on Duncan or on Bam, and so it's kind of like this like weird zone that no one's really having to kick out of, or no one's really having to like help down from. But so you break a zone, you get, you know, you get your one of your best decision makers, one of your best passers, you get that guy in the high free throw line area in the middle of the zone. And then that's when they pick how they operate. And I think you're absolutely right that from that position, we should see him more with a focus and an emphasis on wanting to operate north.
So I want Chad to understand something. I tweeted out of the Heat Beat account yesterday that Bam is a top 10 player and that I was sorry to Damian Lillard. That Dame has been kicked out. Bam. Hold on. I'm not going to go through the list.
Hold on.
What?
You said that after I tweeted no ceiling trademark and you got mad at me?
No, because that was the other day. Because that was, okay, but you tweeted that and I got mad at you because he was like refusing to go at Joe Harris and it was driving me crazy. I was so mad.
He had 21 points at the half.
Okay, whatever. Yeah, that's fine. I'm wrong. We can all make fun of me. But top 10 player, I'm here. Nikias, I'm here. And it kind of, I want to preface, like, I want to be critical to Bam because I think he can be better. I think he can legit be Anthony Davis. Like, I'm not crazy. I think he has that kind of talent. I think that as a jump shooter, I think he can get there. I think he can get a little more aggressive going to the rim. And I think that's going to be the difference because I think defensively, he's on his way there. And as a passer, he's certainly better than AD. So I just really see Bam as like, if this goes right, we're talking top five player in the league type stuff. Like when I'm looking at him, like what the high end is for him, right? Like the nickname No Ceiling isn't for nothing. So like we're having this conversation in the context of, you know, we think he's that good. At least I do. I saw someone in chat earlier say, I love this comparison. He's baby KG, but with Chris Bosh's attitude. I think that's kind of perfect.
Baby KG with Chris Bosh's attitude.
Like the game kind of after KG, but like he has more of a Bosh kind of
like approach and attitude. Not soft, but like,
how
I don't know.
Dare you?
No. I didn't mean soft in that way, but I don't, more approach. I don't know. Just I get
there's
the
a finesse. There's a finesseness. Yeah. KG kind of played with a lot of edge. Yeah. Clutch Adam saying in the
basically
chat,
he's already there. Basically less of an asshole, I think is what they're saying.
That can work.
He would be. Clutch Adam in the chat says he's already there as a shooter. He just doesn't want to show it. I've heard at games, you know, a couple last year or was it the year before when they were like, you know, Bam has the green light to take these kinds of shots. He just doesn't. And that's kind of on him to kind of come in his own. And I think the coaching staff has really proven with a lot of guys, with guys like Wayne Ellington or whatever. Like, I think the organization does a good job of empowering guys, unless your name is KZ Akpala. They do. I want to save KZ for the end because I have a lot on KZ and I have a lot. I have something for you, Leif, a five on the floor. I listened to the podcast today. I have a rebuttal for your KZ Akpala conversation. You too, Alex Toledo. No, but hold on. I really want to get into this one thing before we pivot to that. Because I'm thinking Bam's in the top 10 now. Like I'm there. I'm at the door. Like I'm ready to take off my shoes and get in the house. Is he better than Jimmy Butler? Because that's where I pause. And I'm like, well, I think I can talk. No. When Jimmy's not playing, I can talk myself into this. And then I remember what he did in the final. Like, Siobhan's shaking your head.
But Siobhan, I had to think about it. And I went through some things. I say no.
Because, like, Jimmy in the finals was, I'm telling you, like, it was the same feeling I had watching Dwayne Wade in 2006.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, wow, he can do anything. Yeah. Oh, wow, he'll do this by himself. Except. Yeah. He really was by himself because D Wade had Shaq and Payne.
Can we imagine if we had this Bam healthy in the finals?
Right. I think it's the combination of things for me that that equate to Bam still not yet overtaking Jimmy as the best player on the team. I don't think he's far off from it. I think the things that will get him.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There will be, you know, his intangibles, like the mindset. I think what still has Jimmy for me as the better player is all things, the entire package of being at this point more dynamic, north south, better shooter, the mentality to take it over and be a dog when he needs to, the ability to guard up and down. There may be neutral there because Bam's an excellent wing defender. But I still give Jimmy the edge, maybe for his ISO abilities and the ability to get his own shot, but still set up other guys to get theirs.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Guys, I'm curious where you fall in this discussion, because I think I know where you're going to go, but maybe you'll surprise me.
I have a question before I even get into that. So,
yes,
Jimmy Butler is where you pause on the Bama's top 10 thing, but not Dame?
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about that, I'll be honest.
So, I love Dame. I think Dame is awesome. Dame is probably my second favorite non-Heat player, right after Kyle Lowry, which is just weird of me to say, but whatever. Like, I love Dame. Like, Dame, Steph, like, these guys are like, I love Dame's game. I love all that.
Is he on your fantasy team?
Dame is not. I've actually never had Dame on my fantasy team. It's funny because I love
him
so much.
This is usually like the reason why he likes certain NBA players.
No, this is not fantasy influence at all. But what Jimmy does on both ends, Nikias, that kind of changes the calculus for me. And I think what Jimmy did in the playoffs last year, particularly the finals, I don't know if Dame has that in him on both ends, because those games had Jimmy doing everything on offense and then guarding everyone from LeBron to AD, oftentimes in the same possession. And they were winning basketball games. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's kind of short-sighted, right? I don't know. But what, I mean, Jimmy scored over the MVP of the league and the defensive player of the year emphatically, and then screamed into the eons, he can't guard me, right? And it's kind of that two-way stuff that, I mean, it's close, right? Like, as an offensive player, you know, obviously I think Dame has more in the bag. And Jimmy has the tendency to sometimes go through a quarter and a half where he has 2 points and one free throw, right? Like, it's weird. Like, he has these weird stretches of games, but I like at his peak, I think what he offers kind of edges Dame out. And then the playoff run last year kind of does that for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's short-sighted, but
I understand
kind of where I'm at.
I don't know if I 100% agree with it, but at least I definitely understand your rationale, because I typically lean with you in terms of the two-way guy over the, I don't want to call Dame one-dimensional. That's too harsh. But like Dame is, right. His value is mostly derived from what he does on offense. So I get you there. But as
like for, Jimmy will win you a game on both ends. Dame will win you a game on one end. Like even the high side of Dame's defense, it's like he's not going to get picked on, and he's not like he's not the reason why you lose. But like Jimmy will legit win you basketball games because of what he's doing on the other end.
I hear you. I got you. So for Jimmy versus Bam, I think I said on this podcast, I feel like Bam was better than Jimmy last year. So
I think that was true until the playoffs. But really, I think Jimmy didn't play his best until, well, no, he had game one against Milwaukee. The rest of that series, he wasn't as great.
He wasn't as great.
And then I guess, those three finals games is what really put him over the top. I think Bam was more consistent than Jimmy in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think
they also played small teams like the Celtics. Like the Celtics had a lot of switchable giant wings.
Yeah. If it wasn't for Bam, we definitely wouldn't be in Boston. That's
Bam and Goran, man, Goran torched those people. It's close. Like it's not an easy conversation. And again, like I think that finals, again, it's just one series, but it's that's the reason why we're doing this activity, right? It's for that series.
I mean, that's a good problem to have. If you got two players you think could be that good, then you have a solid core. They're just not healthy.
Like, he's doing this against LeBron James and Anthony Davis, right? Like, AD and, like, they will put in pick and roll LeBron and AD in the play, and Jimmy's getting in the free throw line and scoring free throws. Like, that image of him keeled over is, like, a lasting image of basketball that I think we're all going to remember forever. Yep. Like if we have families and kids, like we're like, that's something like, that's the kind of shit that you tell your kids, right? It's like that picture, that moment, like that Herculean effort. And again, maybe I'm drinking too much of the Kool-Aid, and maybe it's one series that is coloring too much of my, or one playoff run that's coloring too much of my feelings about it. I would lean Bam being better. I'm at the door and I'm kind of a little bit of Bam better. But I'm not all the way there.
But your argument for why, your like vehement argument for why Jimmy is better than Dame should also be applicable to why Jimmy is still, at least in this moment, better than Bam. Now, I hear you say, you're not all the way in the house or like, all the way in on it yet. But I mean, until we. And I don't know, maybe you can say that you only saw that in Jimmy in spurts because it was, the games that he did it in. But I think, maybe until we see more that Bam is not capable of that mentality, but like willing to implement it and willing to do that, I still give, because of that reason, I still give, that edge to Jimmy.
Also, in terms of Dame, Nikias, Drew Holiday stole his soul.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just tough. Like when you watch a guy like in these, like I haven't seen that happen to Jimmy much. You know what I mean? Like that really bad playoff flameout. And I think that, and Dame has improved. Like I think the traps, he's gotten a lot better at dealing with the traps. And I don't know. It's tough. Like I think those three players are kind of like really close grouped together. The two way stuff kind of elevates them. Siobhan is right about my inconsistency there.
Can I ask a question? How important or how heavy of a factor is size when we are talking about any of these better player type of conversations? I'm asking first.
Well, I think it's tough when you're a small player like Dame to impact the game defensively.
Right.
Like you have to be like CP3, right? Like you know, there are players that are that size that do it, right? That you can be small, but it's, you're right. You're limited in a way. Like obviously CP3 is like a generational defender at that position. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy has kind of a big guard slash wing, right? Like he's afforded. And I think he's also in a position. I mean, wings are the premier position in the league, right? They can kind of do everything on the court, and, right, and they can play most positions, right? So that's just a natural benefit that Jimmy has. And I think in a way, sometimes it limits bigs because of kind of the other stuff, right? Like you can't really ball handle at the top of the key. You kind of need, you are oftentimes an augmentation to offense, unless you're Jokic, right? You're not the offense. So that's like another kind of strike against the big. So I think it plays a factor.
Brian, what do you think?
I think in terms of just like matchups and stuff, having a guy like Bam is more impactful just because he switched on to the first.
Yeah. They could both switch.
I mean, but I believe Bam is probably better, more equipped at it. And just like, I don't know, he's just more twitchy to me as a defender than a lot of other big men. Like, I prefer him over Embiid. And Chad's talking about how Embiid's better than Bam. I don't know.
Oh, get out of here with that. Please get out of here with that. Please. Can Joel Embiid win ever? What do you guys, Siobhan?
Nothing. Go ahead. I want to know Nikias's opinion first.
And then they're also asking who are players better than Bam right now.
Because I think the Joel and Bam thing is kind of an interesting conversation. But Nikias, what do you think about like size and its weight? And is this player a better player than that player?
I think it matters more defensively. Like, I do agree that, you know, having a guy that's Jimmy size or Bam size is more valuable, especially if they can switch out into other players. Where I can't get there is, especially when it relates to Jimmy versus Dame, and I guess Bam too, is that I don't think Dame is a defensive liability. And from there, he just has much more of an influence on offense than those two guys do. Like, I can get with you that when both guys are at their best, Jimmy can affect the game in more ways because of what he does defensively. But from, you know, possession to possession, Dame gets trapped from 40 feet from the basket. Dame has this pull-up equity that opens up the floor for everyone else. He's able to split defenders and kind of force rotations and do all that stuff. Like, Jimmy, we were literally laughing during the Bucks series, calling for Bud's head because they just didn't go under his pick and roll when a high school coach would call for that kind of stuff. And like, while Jimmy shouldn't be docked for that, and that's very much a Bud thing, it also kind of speaks to his limitations as an on-ball guy. And Dame doesn't have that. So
they have their warts.
Yeah, like they have their warts. But that's Dame just kind of influences a little too much on offense. And the fact that he isn't like Trae Young on defense or anything to kind of counter that, I find it hard to put Jimmy over a guy like Dame, especially since Jimmy will coast four quarters at a time on offense.
I liked what Zach Lowe said the other day when he was kind of talking about guys that don't react to defenses. And he was talking in the context of Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is a guy that will react to a defense. While, you know, in the conversations that we're having, Dame, and I think Jimmy as well, they manipulate defenses. They coordinate what the defense is going to do, and then they get what they want, right? And I think that they're both that kind of player on offense, but Dame's kind of shooting and gravity, and Jimmy plays on a different court than Dame Lillard. Dame plays from the logo to the basket.
Yeah,
Jimmy plays from the three point line to the basket,
from the volleyball line, getting that high pick and roll, maybe down. Yeah. It's cool. I don't know that I necessarily had a point, or I have a point in there somewhere, and I've been thinking about it a lot, but I haven't like been able to sit down and really organize my thoughts around it. Because I also think there are differences in like size and like length versus size, and do those things matter? I think about kind of like when people compare Steph and LeBron, and I just solely think of kind of like their height differential, and like LeBron is who he's been able to be because he's this physical freak. And so that gives him like a biological advantage over, you know, a smaller guy. So I was just curious. Someone in the chat was saying that we forget that like Bosh used to finish through contact and finish through guys. Bosh was also bigger than Bam. Bosh has got 2 inches on his height, 2 inches on his wingspan. And I don't know. I just wanted to see, you know, kind of what you guys thought about size in relation to being better than whomever. And then, like I said, I think there's differences in size, but height, length, girth, just those types of things. So,
you know, to answer your question, I would love to have five bands on this team.
To the Bosch point, you know, Bosch was already in like his 8th to 10th year while he was here. And he's, you know, that matters too. Yep. You know, Bam's in year four, right? He's going to learn how to use his gifts.
Yep.
Because he's certainly, I mean, he's set weight room records, right? He's he's springy. He's athletic. I see people in the chat talking about Paul George better than Bam and stuff like that. I'm out.
That's ridiculous.
I'm out. Nikias, are you out? I'm out on P. I don't know what is he, Pandemic P, Playoff P? I don't know what we're calling him now, but
Pandemic P.
I'm out.
Paul George is so freaking good, bro.
He's great. Is. He's awesome.
He is. That's why it's so frustrating.
Until the playoffs.
But so is Bam. I will say that. I will people saying Beal over Bam. Listen, I love Brad.
I love Brad.
No. Brad would come here and be the third best player and he will like it.
Nikias, what were you thinking there?
I think Brad would be
I can't get there with Bill. Like, Paul George is a conversation worth having, but I feel like we've gone too far in making Paul George a meme at this point to have like meaningful basketball discussion.
No, we can't. He's good. No, he's Nikias, he's good. He does have a long-standing history of falling apart in January. I'm divorcing this from health because I think having these health conversations is absurd, and it's just, it feels like we're doing the Justice Winslow thing again. He's obviously really good. As an offensive player, I don't know how much I like him more than Jimmy. Jimmy's a much better passer, a much better, I think, decision maker. I think Paul George is obviously a much better shooter, and he has an athleticism that just Jimmy doesn't have. In terms of motor, Jimmy is just has a lot more. Jimmy's a lot more physical as a defender. Obviously, that goes to PG, but it's not like Jimmy's not right there. And I could say all the same things for Bam. Like, how much does Paul George do better that, like, it justifies it?
Better than who?
Better than
Jimmy and Bam. Like, other than score the ball.
No, they have to be separate conversations. It can't be Jimmy and Bam.
Let's do the Jimmy one first, because I think that's the easiest to compare. Like,
I didn't think we were going to do a whole comparison show, guys.
I mean, the shooting obviously isn't close. I don't think there is as large of a playmaking gap as... I think probably just different. Jimmy is the better passer, better playmaker, but I don't think that the gap is massive. I'll frame it like this. I don't think the gap in playmaking is as large as the gap in shooting.
I'll disagree, but that's fair.
I also think if we're talking defensive versatility, I think Paul George is much better against guards than Jimmy is.
Okay.
So
I'm with you
that, I mean, from there, it just kind of depends on what your value. I mean, obviously the shooting is its own thing, but like specifically the pull up shooting, how much you value that, because Paul George can just get it in a variety of ways, off the bounce, flying off the screens. Like, he can be in more ways than Jimmy can.
I think Jimmy's a better screener too. And I think a part of that's coaching that he's used more creatively, but I think as a cutter, as a roller, as a mover without the ball, I like him more.
Who has more guts?
Oh, Jimmy, easy. Come on, Nikias. You know he leads the league in guts per 100 possessions.
Well, yeah, from there. If the tiebreaker is guts, then I'm sorry, Paul.
And culture. Culture per 100 possessions, guts per 36 minutes.
Personality, that counts.
Oh, he's probably better at making a latte. That has to factor into the summer.
Yeah, he's a small business owner.
I mean, listen, we need that in America right now. Do. Just providing jobs to himself. Oh, he hired that one little kid in one of his Instagram videos. He did not pay him though. So I mean, maybe we have to dock him for being anti-labor. But
that's a pretty big deal. Man.
Yeah. I mean, I just think the Bam stuff's kind of interesting right now because like it's at a point that I think that, you know, as pundits, as people who cover the league, it's a fun conversation to have, you know, when you think about, you know, Bam and Tatum and now Jaylen Brown emerging, and then what Beal's doing, Kyrie. Nikias, you deleted, I don't want to like spend too much time on this because I want to get to KZ for the last couple of minutes of the show, but you had tweeted a thing the other day about like the top 10 point guards in the league. Mm-hmm. And I was filling mine out. Do you want to guess where I put Kyle Lowry? And I just didn't tweet it out of shame.
Before I answer, did you consider like LeBron and Luka and guys like
that? No.
I did not.
Because you said not to.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to see. I didn't know if you had saw that or not. I bet you have him. You have him two or three. I know you have him two or three.
I have him three.
I said three in my head.
I have him three. And I'm going to tell you why.
I don't want to hear it.
If you're the Nets,
I really don't want to hear
it. Do you want Kyrie or Lowry?
No one gets
it. You're trying to win a title.
No one cares.
Why is that the team that breaks the tie? Why is that the...
I don't know. I was just going through this. Also, I think Chris Paul's not having a good year this year. Okay, I just wanted to bring that up. I just wanted to laugh at me. We'll talk about this.
Four viewers all of a sudden. Wow.
Huh?
Wow. Why do we have four viewers all of a sudden? What happened to the audience?
Yeah, we don't want to get there. Okay, so last thing on the docket today is KZ Akpala. He is... So my man Leif over there at Five on the Floor and Alex had a show. And they were like, he's kind of inconsistent on offense and defense and this and that. And I don't totally disagree. I think it was a little harsh. But, you know, I'm a KZ apologist. Hashtag free KZ with my man Marco in chat. We love KZ. We are about the propaganda. We are about the movement. I think that he has been really good. I thought yesterday he was their fourth best player. I thought on offense, he provided what he has to. As a cutter, he had a couple moves where he went to the basket. I thought one of those offensive fouls was kind of BS because Harden did the same thing and DeAndre hooked him and they didn't call those. But regardless, I thought he was a plus on offense. One of those threes rimmed in and out that was halfway down. He hit another open corner three, is moving without the ball well. He's pretty familiar with their sets and he's screening when he has to, where he has to. I think he has that down packed. I think as a one-on-one defender, he's really good. His clamp and beard. He was doing a really good job on KD. I think he does get a little lost when the screening in a set becomes a little more complicated. But against a team like the Nets, they just love to isolate. And I think that was just a great situation for him. I do think he needs more reps. Like I'm not saying that KZ is the answer to every single problem. I just think that sometimes people are a little hard on him. I think he's been really good in his minutes. I think he's been productive. And I know the net rating looks like it's horrible. It's like minus a million per 100 possessions. I know that. I've seen the numbers. But I've also watched the film. And I just think sometimes people are being a little too hard on him. I think he's been really good.
Well, I feel like part of the reason people are being hard on him is like our fault. Because we have been...
Define our.
I mean, my fault. But...
Okay. I was like, how much are we... I'll shoulder the blame with you. I just want to know if you mean us.
Well, I mean, like, let KZ... need playing time people. Like we have been at times like, a little over the top about the KZ love. Like some of that
it's becoming like justice.
I don't want to say that. Like I don't want to put
I don't want it to get there. I don't want to do that again.
The same brother's justice. Let's not disrespect justice.
No, I know I'm not. I'm just saying that like it's the movement's evolving.
Yeah. I got you. So like some of that is just people pushing back on KZ getting praise despite his best career highlight is a steal at the top of the zone against the Kings last year. So like I do get people like, all right, let's see what we got. And then KZ blows an assignment. It's like, what was the clamoring for? I am with you. You know where I am on young players getting consistent playing time for good teams. Heat aren't a good team right now, but you get my general. Like give your young
yes, they are.
Like give your young guys reps. So like KZ needs to play. The word pretty obvious. I am more concerned about his offense than his defense. Like he's gotten lost sometimes on defense. I don't know if I can't remember if I tweeted out the clip, but I did tweet out during the transition possession to where he decided by himself that he was going to pick up Kevin Durant despite the guy he should have picked up being in the corner. And then that just kind of led to a wide open. They ended up leading to an and.
I love that initiative. He's like, I want to guard the MVP. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you got to call out your matchups if you're going to do that, especially in transition. So, like, the slow-mo replay is Duncan Robinson openly throwing up his hands like, who the heck has this guy?
I remember that.
It's just like, yeah. And I tweeted immediately like, yeah, KZ, you can't. Like, it's just like, that is why you're getting the quick hook. You can't do stuff like that. So he very much has room to grow.
Blame on Spo's fault?
Why does he get hooked for that? And then Gabe Vincent can do whatever he's doing, and Kendrick Nunn can do whatever he's doing, and they don't get hooked.
That's where I'm with you. Like, it's one thing to say KZ deserves a hook for something like that, but he can't get the hook, and then also Gabe Vincent is ISOing for 14 seconds.
I agree.
One thing, and not getting pulled. Like, at a certain point, one of these guys can defend, and the other two can't.
Yeah. Somebody needs to hold Spo accountable.
I have just the guy for you. He's on 5 of the 4 podcast. You may know him as Tropical Blanket.
Accountability, Alex. Hold Spo to it. Siobhan, are we here going, are we like too in love with KZ? Are we going overboard? You're reasonable. You're very even keeled. You know the game better than us. Are we going too far?
The we of the, which side is the we?
Defense. Like the free KZ. Like,
oh, no, I don't think so. I actually think those that are like Uber KZ or like against the, you know, free KZ mafia. I think they need some accountability. I think Miami fan, it was mentioned in a pod or two ago that Miami fans have such this kind of like air of entitlement, and just because we've experienced success. And I think we've fallen in love with these recent draft picks and these recent, you know, organizational builds from, you know, Justice did or didn't pan out, but from him to Josh, to Tyler, to Bam. And we see, you know, a Precious getting the, I don't know, maybe the space to work through some of those mistakes. I think there's kind of like equal blame to be dished out here. And maybe not equal, because I don't think the free KZ people deserve too much of that. For him to still, you know, be on the roster, still be here, but he is still fairly young. Like, I don't understand why we as a fan base collectively can't just like be okay with having a project that may maybe take a little bit longer to pan out than some of the kind of microwave successes we've seen a Tyler. And, you know, Bam wasn't at first, but Bam was playing behind, you know, that dude in Sacramento. I think that the kind of the questioning, you know, why Gabe gets a little more freedom, I think that's valid. Because they both feel a need at the time. We need a point guard.
Guard privilege.
But we need a point guard, and we need a four. We need some length. And so if you are giving, you know, Gabe the freedom to, you do what he is doing out there. And I'm not against Gabe, but if you're giving Gabe that same amount of freedom, then I do think it's fair to question, you know, why isn't someone like a KZ, who, like I said, also feels a need for this team currently, why isn't he given that space? I'm for KZ. I'm team free KZ. I think there's a reason, you know, he's still here. I don't know how serious or not the Harden talks were for myself and my soul personally. I think, you know, if he was a trade chip that they were willing to be moved to move off of, then maybe he would have been. I think there's something there. Maybe they're stashing him. Maybe they're not. I definitely am team young players need reps too, because it's hard to get consistency. It's hard to, especially offensive consistency with such a varying lineup. I think last game it said we'd end up having 12 different starting lineups, you know, throughout the season. We're at like game 17. And so if he's not getting the reps in game time, who knows what the practice situation is like because of COVID. I definitely think there is space to be had for the conversation that he does need reps. And I do think Spo deserves some accountability also, but I think the people that are so ready to be done with KZ need to pump a little bit.
So a couple things before we head out of here. Marco saying that, you know, KZ's hitting the open shots that KO's not. And that's a point.
Boom.
KZ fills a need at that four spot, that 3-4 spot that they don't have.
He's mobile. He's wiry. He's gotten stronger. We've seen him, his body physically develop. Like, give that boy a chance.
Yeah. We've mentioned this a bunch, but that, Nikias, I said that block that he had in the first Nets game, it made me angry that Max Drews played ahead of him just based on that play alone. Like, that play, I'm just like, really? This guy can do that? Like, prime Dwight Howard stuff? And it's ridiculous. Crab Smoke Peddler, which is just a really funny thing to read, says in chat, really good is a weird superlative for, in quote, filling a narrow role somewhat competently. Well, yeah, Crab.
He's got a point.
You know, they're going to bring PJ Tucker in here to do the same thing. So, what do you want?
Wait, like, really good, what they need. The really good is in relation to what else we have at our disposal right now. I'm not saying KZ is the really good or the really goodest of all of the fours in the league, but he is one of our options. And so in relation to them, I think he's a really good one.
So Chad has finally noticed that I'm wearing a hat today. Weird Alf says, what's with the cap? What are you hiding, Navas? Crab says, there's a basement under G's hat. They're all saying I'm afraid to mention. My hair currently looks like a Jim Carrey in Pet Detective. And I want it to look somewhat nice for you guys stream today. So this is me trying. I need a haircut. It's dangerous. I live with an older person. I want to keep her safe.
Explain why you haven't gotten a haircut.
Well, the last time I got one haircut, and I think the last time I got a haircut was the day of the draft, the day right before the draft. It was like around Thanksgiving, I think, or whatever, somewhere around there. And I went because I was like, we're going to do a live stream. It's going to be important. This is a big day for us. I want to look nice. So I got a haircut, and the barber calls me a couple of days later. He goes, dude, I have COVID. I'm really sick right now. I'm like, really? Now, I don't leave my house.
You said that anywhere. Same day or the next day?
Like, it was like a couple days later. I think it was a Wednesday, and he called me on a Friday.
It's like right before Thanksgiving, too.
Siobhan, I don't leave my house. I haven't seen my friends since March of last year. Like, I like don't socialize with anybody. Like, you guys are like the people I socialize with right now because I don't see my friends because it's dangerous out in these streets.
This is why we pod so much.
Yeah, this is why when I get a life again, this is going to change. I could go to Brian's wedding. Like, I'm serious. Like, I don't go anywhere. Like, I really want to protect my mom.
Yeah, Siobhan, she was my best man. He didn't show up to my wedding.
Yeah, we don't go grocery shopping. We get it delivered. We have Instacart, and we get that delivered. Like, we're very serious. I go on, like, runs at weird times in the day when no one's out, so I can at least get a little cardio in. And the one time I go anywhere.
Yeah.
My man had COVID, and I was like, I'm never going again.
I don't think.
Curtis Hero says that your barber has the antibodies now, so you're good to go back.
No, but you can still carry. You can have the antibodies and still carry and transmit the virus. So, like, now he's probably like, oh, what do I care? I'm not going to get sick. You went to church the other day, and I was like, oh, God. Sounds like there's a lot of people in there. Like, it's a crowd. It sounds crowded.
I don't think it made that you and John Wall have the same barber. That's cool.